This is the Hot Corner on the Sports Superstation with your host, Ryan McKenna.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. And for the first time since June of 2011, we hit the airways to do a special edition of the Hot Corner. Today, we will talk Toronto Blue Jays and only the Jays, as this will be a mid-season evaluation of the club going into the second half of the season. Joining me today, all the way from Toronto, Ontario, is radio and television arts student at Ryerson University and co-host on Beast Mode Sports on SpiritLive.net, is my good buddy, Jeremy Pearl. What's going on, Jeremy?
Hey, Ryan. Thanks for having me. Not too much, you know, just enjoying the fine weather of Toronto.
How's the weather been so far this summer? I hear it's been pretty muggy.
Actually, today it's pretty muggy, but it's been good. It's hot, you know? It's all right. It's better than those cold winters we get here.
It's very true. So, Jeremy, I know what you're doing for the summer, but just fill us in on what you're doing at Ryerson University this summer and the preparation leading up to next season.
Well, I currently work for the Ryerson Athletics Department in the Sports Information Division. During the summer, we're taking over Maple Leaf Gardens, our new home. So, you know, making a few upgrades there. Currently working on some promotional videos, some marketing plans, some advertising schemes, and I think next year's going to be really exciting for our athletics.
Any idea on when we will be moving into our new athletic department?
Well, the students, everyone, it should be open by the time everyone gets back, but there have been a few delays, so I won't give any secrets away.
So when's your office going to open?
Well, it's been moved back a few weeks now, so hopefully we get in there pretty soon. We don't have a specific date anymore.
Okay, right on. So enough chit chat. Let's get
construction for you.
What's that? What's that? Sorry.
That's Toronto construction for you.
Yeah, it's been 2 or 3 years in the making now. Oh well, whatever. Hopefully, by the pictures, it looks good. I saw Stephanie White tweeted. I think it was yesterday or the day before that the condensation's starting, so they're starting to make the ice. So, fingers crossed, they're ready for tryouts.
Yes, sir.
All right, so enough chit-chat. Let's get down to business here. Toronto Blue Jays, entering the second half of 2012 with a .500 record, and after a loss on Friday, but a win yesterday, they remain at 44-44. That's good for, 10.5 games back of first place New York Yankees. I mean, we started off the season with high expectations, and then it all sort of plummeted as of late. Jeremy, what do you think happened? I mean, I have my own opinion on this, but I want to hear what you think was the biggest factor in the Jays' hopes for this season.
Well, I mean, I don't know if anything specifically happened, per se. Personally, this is kind of where I thought the Jays would be. I thought they might be 3 or 4 games above .500. You look at the division they're playing in, you have the Yankees who are doing what the Yankees always do, they win ball games. You somehow have Baltimore winning ball games, which never happens, and you know everyone banks on them doing poorly, so I think they'll drop off. And then you have Tampa, who's been kind of struggling because they've had their own injuries, and Boston hasn't gotten off to that role they normally get onto. I think the Jays have obviously been just decimated by injuries. When you have Brendan Morrow, and then you have Kyle Drabek and Drew Hutchison just go down in 3 games in a combined, 30 pitches, you're obviously not going to have the success you want. The bullpen hasn't been great, aside from Casey Jansen and Jason Frazier, maybe. But I don't know. I think the Jays still have hope, and they've played reasonably well without their 3 starters. Their bats have been clicking. It just hasn't been consistent. And I think if they do maybe acquire a pitcher, you know, a big inning eater, they have a shot at the second wild card, maybe.
You're summarizing my whole show in what you just said. Like, all the questions I was about to ask, you've been summarizing it. That's okay. But you mentioned a couple points there that I really liked. One was consistency. Just hasn't been there. We'll get to that later in the show with our GFY awards. And also, you also mentioned the Boston Red Sox. Now, they're second last in the division. But geez, you look, they're getting Clay Buchholz back. I'm not sure if he pitched last night or if he's pitching today. Jacoby Ellsbury got back on Friday. Carl Crawford is expected back. They're going to be tough. If they start to heat up, they're going to be really tough.
They also lost Pedroia for a while, though.
That's also true. I mean, you gain back three guys, but you lose Petey. So, I mean, losing a guy like Petey, he's a big hole to fill, man. But it's this division is just so wide open. And in order to be a top team like you see in the Orioles or the Yankees, you need to be consistent, like exactly you said. And so far, Baltimore and New York have been the most consistent, but I see Baltimore doing sort of what the Pittsburgh Pirates did last year, which is just go on a downhill. Obviously, you don't want to see it happen to anyone, but if anyone that's going to happen to it, I can see it happening to the Orioles. So you had sort of talked a little bit about, do we have a chance of getting back in it? 2.5 games out of the second wild card spot. On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think our chances are?
Well, I mean, it's just that they're 2.5 games back of the wild card. Why don't they have a chance? They're playing decent baseball. Their offense is taking them, you know, as far as they have right now. If as long as they do well against the teams that are directly in front of them, so basically the entire AL East, which they have a relatively decent history of, except for Tampa, I think they have a chance. They have a really important road trip going to the Yankees and then the Red Sox. If they come away with, you know, 3, maybe 4, if they can sweep the Red Sox, that'd be fantastic. Obviously not really expected, but I still think they have a great chance of the second wild card. Again, they'll need a bit more pitching help, and the bullpen hasn't been great. The starters have been decent. I mean, I don't think anyone expected this from Aaron Laffey.
Or Brett Cecil.
Yeah, exactly. Cecil's first two starts were fantastic. I mean, for what he was. The guy wasn't even on the opening day roster, and now he's the second or third man in the rotation.
Well, he was projected to be like the fourth guy in the rotation. Then he just blew a gasket against the Pirates in the final preseason game. So it's not like he wasn't expected to do anything this year. I don't think anybody expected him up as early as he was called up.
So, if they can get some help, I mean, obviously Drayback's not coming back. Morrow has talked about coming back maybe mid-August. He started throwing some sessions. He feels all right. So there's hope there if he can get back onto the pace he was. If they can acquire a pitcher who isn't going to decimate their farm system, that'd be great. You know, maybe a 2-3 kind of guy or 3-4, just someone who can eat innings and be consistent. So I think they absolutely have a shot at the second wild card. Is it going to happen? Maybe not this year, but to say they're out of it this early isn't the right thing to do.
So you were just talking about there about some possible trade possibilities. In one of my earlier blog posts on the Hot Corner, I had talked about possibly swinging a deal with the Tampa Bay Rays. That was around the time actually that all of our pitchers started going down. I don't know if there's much of...
So it's your fault.
It is possibly my fault, yes. You tweeted me, I think, right after I posted and I think Moore went down like 2 seconds after that. I felt bad, but still. I don't know, like, guys like Ryan Dempster, is he the sort of guy we're looking for? There's been a lot of talk of him on the move.
He's definitely a good guy. I think he might be a little expensive for what the Jays are doing right now. I don't know, because I don't know what Anthopoulos' mindset is. Is it getting a guy just to kind of preserve where we are? Is it getting a guy who is going to help? The way Alex trades is he trades for guys that are under control for years after, and guys he can work with. I don't know if Dempster's that guy. I think maybe Garza, but again, it's all about the price. I think we can see getting, you know, maybe someone who's not as well known, kind of a back of the end rotation that can still grow into a 2 or 3 starter. So I really don't know who he's going to target, but
it's really tough to call. Used so many young guys this year too. So many guys that weren't supposed to come up for a little bit later. Drew Hutchison was a perfect example of that. I mean, he pitched really well, but he wasn't expected to come up this early. And there was talk that like guys like Deck McGuire, who was a Jays draft pick in 2010, was supposed to come up, but he's been brutal this year in Double A.
He's been awful.
Last time I checked, he had a record of 2-9 or something like that, and ERA over 4.
That's been the problem. I mean, their Double A and Triple A pitchers haven't been that good.
No.
And then they've had to call them up, and they obviously haven't done well in the majors.
No. And they just aren't ready to take that next step. Let's go.
Justin Chavez has been awful.
Oh, yeah. I think Dirk Ahurst had a tweet yesterday that Chavez has a case of the runs.
Man, he's just been horrible.
Yeah.
There's no other way to describe him other than just terrible.
It's disappointing. So let's go over some possible, like, some guys that have possibility of being traded, some trade value. I wrote this script earlier this week, so I had Escobar, Davis, Jansen, and Encarnacion on the move. Encarnacion can obviously be chalked off that list after signing a new 3-year deal that will sign him through 2016. That was earlier this week. So what are your thoughts, say, Escobar, Davis, Jansen, of those three guys, which one would you think would be dealt the most likely, or would you go off the board on this one?
It's tough. I don't think they're going to trade Jansen because they'll have no one else in their bullpen. Davis, I don't know if they can trade him right now until Snyder is healthy or Thames starts producing. Escobar, there's been a lot of talk about Escobar. Personally, I love Escobar, and I think he's a great player. Yeah, his hitting hasn't been great, but
his defense been really good.
Defensively, he brings so much to the table.
You're right.
So, honestly, out of those three, probably, I mean, obviously, Escobar will get you the most in return, but who are they going to bring up to replace him? Yeah, Hecuveria, but his hitting has been worse than Escobar's. So I don't think that's the right thing to do. I'm going to go off the board, and I think Adam Lind gets traded. And I think everyone in Toronto throws a party.
What'd you say, sorry?
And I think everyone in Toronto throws a party because the guy, sure, he's hitting. He has 6 hits coming out of the All-Star break. He went 4-for-4 yesterday, or 4-for-5 yesterday. I don't know. There's just, I think he needs an Aaron Hill type trade. I think he just needs to get away from Toronto, kind of relax, recharge his batteries, do something. And I hope he does well wherever he goes. I just hope it's no longer in Toronto.
You know, and I can see someone, like, whenever he was put on waivers, he had 0 trade value at all. Nobody would have been in their right mind to pick him up. But you see now, he's been decently hot. But, I mean, like, he would be a guy coming off the bench for a team trying to make a playoff run, I think. Like a backup first baseman. Something like
absolutely.
A Jorge Cantu deal whenever Florida traded him to Atlanta a few years ago.
Yep.
Cantu wasn't really their everyday. He did make some starts at first, but he wasn't that exact guy, although he did post some numbers here and there. I can see something like that happening for Lynn. Which team would be picking him up? I don't know.
There was something on ESPN today that said Cleveland or Oakland.
Cleveland or Oakland.
Excuse me.
Oakland isn't really in a position to make a playoff run, though, but
hey, you know, some team, that's the new second wild card. There are 14 teams in contention, where normally we only have like 5 or 6, so
It's wide open. It's wide open. All right, so this is a great segue for me and what prospects, as a Jays fan, you might like to see coming up in September for that. You mentioned Hecuveria. Darnell is currently injured, and Anthony Ghost we've seen this week on highlight reels all over the place at the MLB Futures game. He made that sick catch in center field. Now, I really like Ghost.
The wrong way. It was just a great recovery.
It's just a great recovery. You're right. Now, Ghost, when he first got traded, people thought Anthopoulos was stupid. I mean, you're trading away Brett Wallace to the Astros, who was supposed to be our next first baseman, our next gold glover, all-star first baseman, for this unknown.
Into someone who's not good enough to win the Astros starting first baseman job. So
it technically worked out for us, but at the time, everyone was just, what are you doing? And he was like, just give it time, just give it time. And we're slowly... Also,
I mean, at the time, they had Adam Lind, right? He was good.
You're right. And he was... This was in, like, 2008, 2009 season. And, well, since then, he's gone downhill. But still, you look at his stats. In AAA this year with Las Vegas 51s, he's played 90 games. He only has 4 home runs. Last year, he had 16 at AA. And he leads the Pacific Coast League with 29 stolen bases. Not too bad. I think that's worthy enough for a September call-up.
Where would you put him, though? You have...
I'd like to see him in left field.
Right. You've got Colby in center. Are you going to put him in left field?
I would put him in left field. I think, like... But it's just a matter...
What are you saying to Snyder and Thames, then?
Goodbye.
Oh, okay.
I can see Thames possibly being a utility guy, but Snyder, sorry man, but I'd say it's change of scenery for you. I like Lunchbox Hero, but I'd say we've tried it so many times, and so many times we said go back to AAA, work on your swing.
And okay, but then are you getting full value out of Ghost's defensive abilities if he's playing in left?
Yeah, that's a good question. And
does he have the arm? Actually, he showed he's got a decent arm.
Yeah, but I mean, you also see what the Red Sox did with Jacoby. Whenever they brought in Mike Cameron, they moved Jacoby to left field. Now, I mean, I'm not saying Rasmus is going anywhere, but say he gets injured, or I'm knocking on wood right now, but say he gets injured or his trade value drops or they decide to move him, Ghost goes over to center. I mean, Ghost can always start his career on left and make his way over to center, but I can see sort of Jacoby Ellsbury type thing going on here.
I think if they're going to call up Ghost, I think it really depends on where they are in the wild card race, because right now I don't think the kid has enough hitting to be in the MLB, in the show.
No, his average just isn't there.
Great potential. But at the same time, he might be hitting better than Davis, who has an 0-for-23 streak right now. So, I mean, again, it depends on injuries. It depends on where they are. I think he has a really bright future. But if we see him this year, I think that means the Jays might be out of the running.
Yeah, and anything is possible right now. I mean, we won't know anything more until it really depends. See how they do until around mid-August, and around mid-August is when you start evaluating your team. Is this going to be a possibility, or are we going to start looking forward to next year? And if we are going to start looking closer to next year, then I'd say Ghost should get some at-bats as a September call-up. Now,
absolutely.
Darno, I mean, Aaron Seabee is...
too bad.
What's that?
It's too bad that he got hurt.
Oh, it is absolutely too bad, because he's been on a tear. You look at his numbers for the 51s.
At the same time, he's kind of showing that he's a little injury prone.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, he was still raking.
Yeah, but you don't rake when you're hurt.
That's also true. Just to give our listeners an idea, Darno's numbers at AAA Las Vegas was he was hitting .333 in 67 games with 16 home runs and 52 RBIs. He was also named the All-Star, or the MVP, sorry, of the PCL last season.
Kid's been great.
Kid's been great.
Future, but again, I mean, that means you're going to have to trade Aaron Seabee, who is a fan favorite in Toronto, and he has to stay healthy and show that he can stay healthy.
But you can't have two number one catchers either. Like, it's not like Darno can come up and back up Aaron Seabee, or Aaron Seabee can back up.
Well, I mean, I think you'd have to do that for a season.
Yeah.
But it's the season after that where it gets tricky.
It's going to start looking like the Vancouver Canucks is what would happen.
Well, as long as you're not Mike Gillis, it's not a bad problem to have.
No. Anyways, that's a story for our Slapshot Radio, Jeremy. We could discuss that more. All right, so let's start to throw out some awards for first half of the season. We'll make it easy for you. Only two awards. One, because you're a special guest. Two, because I still hear the sirens that I do not miss in the background of ambulances and stuff. Yes, I can hear them. Don't miss those, man. Don't miss those at all. And I threw in the script that you're part American, but I think that's a little bit off the board. That's a little bit offside. So, anyways, first award, the MVP award. You go ahead.
Well, it's kind of a toss-up. I mean, it could easily go between Edward Encarnacion, who has been fantastic, but I'll be a little stereotypical, and I'll give it to Jose Bautista.
Okay.
I think I'm giving it to Jose for what he does. You know, obviously on the field he's producing 27 home runs, how many RBIs he had. He has 65 RBIs, 57 walks. You know, he's doing pretty well, but I think it's a lot of the little intangibles that helps Bautista, you know. His relationship with Edwin Encarnacion has helped. He stayed here for the next, you know, now he has a new contract after everyone, when he was traded to Toronto, was left for dust. I think what Jose does with the team makes him the team MVP. He does a lot of the little things. He helps all the players. He hits well. He has a great routine. I just think he's the perfect team guy, and that's why he's MVP. Not to take anything away from Encarnacion, who number-wise probably has been a little bit better.
Bautista's been great defensively, too. I mean, you see how he was catching the All-Star game? That was a beauty catch.
Man's got a cannon.
I remember whenever I first saw my first MLB game in Toronto in June of 2010, they were playing the Giants, and there was a, I don't remember who it was, but it was a hit off the wall and right. He, one bounce off the wall, picks it up barehand, guns it to Aaron Hill, who's at the pitcher's mound. Short little toss to the catcher, gone. Just
exactly
got a can.
Great.
So you said that you weren't going to give it to Edwin. Might have been because I had already given it to Edwin, my MVP. The guy has been having a great season. I think he was definitely stubbed. I think you can agree on this. He was definitely stubbed of an All-Star spot this year.
I have some late breaking news for us.
Okay, we got some breaking news.
Sergio Santos to undergo shoulder surgery, which means he's done for the year.
More on him coming in our next award. Oh, baby, that's going to work me up. Thank you for the breaking news. Hopefully we can get this episode uploaded so that it still is breaking news. So, I mean, you look at his numbers, and the guy, back to Edwin, sorry. You look at his numbers, and the guy's just been on a tear all year. I'm really thankful to have him as a member of the Bedecky Agribombs and the Island Fantasy Baseball League. He's provided me with some much-needed points with Matt Kemp down on injury. Anyways, he definitely stepped up when Lynn got sent down, and he played as good as he could have at first base. I believe Pat Tyler was saying yesterday on the broadcast, only made one error at first base so far this season. I really hope he has continued his success. New 3-year deal announced earlier this week. But we'll just see how things play out. Hey, plus I seen him in the mall in Boston. He's a boss. He was walking with some chick and Ben Francisco. They just look like they're $1 million people. Pretty cool. Pretty cool experience. So, anyways, next award is called the GFY Award for the worst player in the first half of the season. Do you want me to go first or do you want to go, Jeremy?
It's all you, Ryan.
All right, all me. So the GFY award for the worst Jays player in the first half of the season goes to... I feel like I'm at the awards banquet all over again. I gotta go with relief pitcher Francisco Cordero. This guy is the definition of a bust. ERA of over 6, 3 blown saves, but I think the best stat that really shows that he sucks is that opponents are hitting 350 off of him. I mean, coming over from Cincy, I thought he was going to be really good with Sergio Santos. You just mentioned Santos, and on a side note, where the F-bomb did Santos go? The guy wastes our money on opening night, he blows a save, we lose, and then he just decides to mail it in. What is this, mail it in Fridays on SportsCenter? Come on. But I guess he is supposedly really injured. I don't know. Do you even remember how it happened, Jeremy?
I think he just had shoulder inflammation, and then it kind of... I think he was throwing pretty hard, and I think he kind of threw out his shoulder, basically.
Well, he throws 95 or so, so, yeah, I guess he is throwing some gas here and there. Probably a little bit harder than you and I could throw, but... Anyways, getting back to Cordero. The guy was supposed to be a setup man in Toronto. Because he had good numbers of saves with the Reds the past few seasons, us Jays fans figured, hey, maybe this guy can do something. Nope. His ERA is huge, and every time we use him, we're scared he's going to blow the game, even with a big lead.
Well, I think Jays fans are scared of whoever's pitching is going to blow the game.
Is so, this a segment into your GFY award, Jeremy?
Francisco Cordero, Coco, he wins my GFY award for worst Blue Jay in the first half. Because the man's been bloody awful. Just atrocious. I like to change the channel when he pitches because I already know there's going to be a few runs put on the board. it's the pitching. It's the doesn't cover the bases when he's supposed to. He just looks like he's uninterested. I don't like him the way he pitches. It just looks ugly. I don't know.
He reminds me of the two jokesters we had last year, Frank Francisco and John Ronch. Those guys were terrible too.
It's been unfortunate, you know. But hey, people have bad seasons. Unfortunately, he's having one with the Toronto Blue Jays. So
no relief pitchers can pitch in Toronto. The only two that I've seen in the past few years is Jansen and Jason Frazier. Those are the only two that can really handle the Jays' bullpen pressures. I don't even consider pressures.
2 or 3 years ago, nobody liked Frazier. Everyone ripped the guy. And then all of a sudden, Frazier was like, oh, well, he's all right, you know. He's okay. We'll cut him some slack. And then all of a sudden, everyone liked Frazier.
I will admit, I was one of them that did bash Frazier pretty hard. I wasn't a fan of the guy. And then somebody pointed out to me, well, why can't you bash a guy that can throw 95? Good point. And maybe...
I love Casey, too. Casey's just got great sweat.
That guy just brings so much intensity to the game. I think he's going to have a heart attack out there one of these times. But...
As long as he can pitch the next game, that's fine.
There you go. So, GFY awards go to both... Well, same person, Francisco Cordero, sorry. And MVP awards go to Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion. All right, that just about does it for this special edition of the Hot Corner. Jeremy, thank you very much for joining me, man. I really appreciate it, and I hope you enjoy talking some ball. Looking forward to seeing you in August, man. I get in the 28th, I believe it is. Start driving up the 27th. We'll get in on the 28th. And
It'll be awesome, man. Can't wait for it.
And just heard breaking news this week that since though I'll be working the Frosh Week game on the 29th. Just for a note for all of our listeners, you can tune in to both Jeremy and I live on the Ryerson Rams Network for the 2012-2013 season, as I believe, unless things have changed, we'll be broadcasting some games here and there. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thanks for having me, and I look forward to doing this again sometime.
All right. Thank you very much for coming on, Jeremy. For Jeremy Pearl, I'm Ryan McKenna. This was the Hot Corner. Have a great night. We'll be right back.
Call it what you wanna call it, I'm a fucking alcoholic.